And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Phil Conlon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil.
We are going to speak to Zafar Benghash at about 5:30, we think. Zafar Benghash is crescent-online.net, and we're going to get his comments on the Quebec attack on the Quebec mosque, and also his thoughts about developments in the Middle East, which, by the way, are, we understand, are related matters. We'll be speaking also shortly with Ann Garrison in California, and she has written two articles, that is in Counterpunch. It has two themes about it. It's very relevant to all the demonstrations and activities that are going on in response to decisions by the current president. The title of her article in Counterpunch, published January 26th, is "The Women's March in Washington, D.C. as Broadcast," which is, I like, that's the part we're going to get into. Now, we do have an announcement. A good friend of CIUT and of the Taylor Report and others is Tiki Mercury Clark is going to perform.
Yes, and that'll be Saturday night at the Harborfront, and it's free at 7 p.m. It's the Kumba Festival, and it's called Black in the Day, and it's kind of like growing up black in Toronto from an earlier era, and that's the theme of her show at 7 p.m. at the Harborfront Center on Saturday night, and that's free admission.
Free admission.
Yes.
And the title is Black in the Day.
Black in the Day.
And it's Tiki Mercury.
Tiki Mercury Clark. It's part of the Kumba Festival.
Yeah. And again, as the Taylor Report, I'll just say, too, that we want to congratulate Eva Bartlett on having a very successful tour of cities of North America, where she reported on her trips to Syria and also in analyzing the failures of the mainstream news. As you know, we will soon have a Ministry of Truth where we can turn in her papers and they will go and correct CNN, the Globe and Mail, Toronto Star, and New York Times and others because they're so interested in the truth. Of course, these meetings were put together by wonderful people and I would say courageous people because the tide, the ideological political tide is running against those who want to understand what's going on in the Middle East and put a stop to the wars, regime change wars, to put it simply. And by the way, that's going to be pertinent to what we have to say with Ann Garrison, I'm sure. I think we'll have an opportunity to hear the Nobel Prize winner in literature, Bob Dylan, has a good song. We're starting to use it a little bit as to help us out in our show because it seems to be pertinent. Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. We'll listen to a bit of that and we'll come back with Ann Garrison.
Oh, where have you been, my blue-eyed son? And where have you been, my darling young one? Stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways. I've stepped in the middle of 7 sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. It's a hard, it's a hard, it's a hard, and it's a hard, a hard rains are gonna fall. And what did he see, my blue eyed son? And what did you see, my darling young one. I saw a newborn baby with wild wolves around it. Saw a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping. I saw a room full of men with their hammers bleeding. And I saw a white ladder all covered with water. I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. I saw guns and sharp swords in the hands of young children. And it's a heart, it's a heart, it's a heart, and it's a heart of rains are gonna fall. And what did you hear, my blue-eyed son? And what did you hear?
That's Bob Dylan, Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, and which seems to be the case, politically speaking. And we are joined now by Ann Garrison. Are you there, Ann?
Yes, I am. Hi, Phil.
Hi. It's good to be talking to you because you wrote an article in January 26, Counterpunch, titled The Women's March in Washington, D.C., as broadcast. And it seems to me it's very valuable because you're raising the issue that everybody ought to be thinking about. If they don't like American policies, domestic and foreign, and they want to do something about it, the question is, I guess, is who's leading this? And so you took a critical eye and looked at the Women's March in Washington. Of course, now there's been a second – by the time – now a week or two has gone by, and now you're having massive demonstrations. I think we combine the two subjects because –
yeah.
In the second paragraph of your article, you point out that there is this issue of the national security entry-exit registration system, which you say, are we protesting that? And you raise the matter of this seems to have been a policy going back through several presidents. So anyway, let's just start with that. What was it about the Washington March you think people ought to be thinking about?
The Washington March, as broadcast, was an obvious Democratic Party attempt to channel dissident energy into the Democratic Party and its next attempt to take Congress and the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't acknowledge that the policies of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, the neoliberalism, the predatory capitalism that has taken over our political institutions, got us to this point by causing so much suffering that Trump was able to win the Electoral College, then it's just a dead end. We're not going to get anywhere beyond where we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was struck. They didn't – usually you get a massive demonstration, American people, particularly people who consider themselves progressive or liberal. They talk about we want to avoid war. But actually, there were people in that march who they had sinister suggestions and signs, and I think some of the speakers talked about, oh, we don't want Putin running our country. That's a dangerous road.
It's very dangerous, and it's like things have turned upside down. The Democratic Party is now more the war party than even the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trump said, I don't want to provoke a confrontation with Russia in Syria,
mm-hmm.
and said that NATO is obsolete. He said that a number of times, and that he didn't support the buildup on Europe's borders with NATO. That was a buildup that was increased in the last 2 days of Obama's presidency. Meaning that we have more troops in Europe than we have since the end of the Cold War.
Yes, Merkel sent her a convoy of Germans. That's always a happy thought, Germans heading towards the Russian border. And then, by the way, the Canadian prime minister, he sent troops. And here it's not remarked on. And that's why I think your article, by the way, is so valuable. Why aren't these things talked about?
Well, they're being talked about. Some of us are talking about it. I'm trying to be very careful to say that I don't diss the protests. With regards to the Women's March, I know there were a lot more people in the streets who had a more radical experience and had more radical intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular event, especially as controlled and broadcast from the stage in Washington, was downright bizarre.
Yes.
I described in my article some of the things we saw. Like Gloria Steinem got up and said, well, I'm old enough to remember the death of hope, and I remember when JFK and Martin Luther King and RFK and Malcolm X were assassinated. And then she said, and if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't have had some of the wars that happened later. Well, what can she possibly be talking about? These assassinations of the late 60s, early 70s had nothing to do with the yes. Iraq war, the war in Syria, the wars in seven Muslim countries that mm-hmm. Obama was sustaining. I mean, Obama managed to expand two wars in Muslim countries into seven,
yes.
creating millions more refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't meaningfully, we can help the people. We can, I mean, it's wonderful that people are flocking to the airport mm-hmm. in support of the refugees. And although some Democratic officials are going out there for photo ops mm-hmm. at various airports, this is not a fundamentally Democratic Party staged event. Uh-huh. And would be really grim. It would be a lot more grim than it is if these people weren't at the airport.
Yes.
But any Democratic officials mm-hmm. who show up at these protests to have mm-hmm. their picture taken should be booed, should be roundly booed in front of the cameras mm-hmm. because they backed Obama's expansion of two wars in Muslim countries into seven, creating mm-hmm. millions more refugees.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and by the way, you might have seen that article by Glenn Greenwald where he quotes a senator from Massachusetts, I think it's actually a good quote, where he said, bombing a country and then saying we won't take your refugees. That'd make a good horror film, but it's not a foreign policy. But when he says that, he's talking about all the administrations.
Yeah,
I read that
article.
And
Trump criterion. Go ahead.
Your article with Greenwald, by the way, if I was recommending people read something, I think they should read your article, Counterpunch, and Glenn Greenwald, because they complement each other nicely. Because neither you nor Greenwald is letting the people divert themselves from the context and reality that produced the crisis that everybody is now at the airports being concerned about. People and limiting states, by the way, I mean, we could argue the sanctions on Syria, the sanctions on Iran, and the calibration of this guy can come in, that one can't, as foreign policy, it's inevitably going to create terrible injustices for people who are just literally caught in the middle and trying to save their lives, you know.
Oh, yeah, and imagine the 2 million internally displaced persons in the Democratic Republic of the Congo
mm-hmm.
whom Americans are just barely aware of.
And they're certainly not going to take them in. And they were not taking them. By the way, there wasn't a great number being taken in by Obama. People were pointing out the numbers were quite small. And basically that project was closed, and they waited, and just they wanted the applause for having opened the door slightly to a few people.
Well, and the deportations of Rwandans continued, including Dr. Leopold Munyakazi, who was recently deported. Those deportations were intense when Bill Clinton was president. They were so intense that Madeleine Albright and Janet Reno, who was then the attorney general, intervened to make sure that Pastor Ntakaruthi Mana was deported.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't expect everyone to understand this. I'm not criticizing people protesting about this, but about what they're protesting about now. The Rwandan and Congolese story and the story of American aggression there in the past 20 years has been so successfully covered up by the media that it's just unreasonable to expect large numbers of people like those now filling the airports to understand that and respond to it. But, you know, we're going to take note of it here on CIUT.
Yes, that's what we do at CIUT. You're right.
Yeah.
And by the way, you could use the broader picture that Africans don't have a prayer in this discussion. I mean, thousands of them have died who, as a result of the bombing of Libya and the destruction of it, and the economy and the victimization of Africans by the reactionaries that took over that country. People get in boats and don't make it across the Mediterranean. Everybody just shrugs. So we've got a long way to go to understand this. Now, I want to point out, you list some nice comments. There's an irony. America Ferreira spoke, and you said – you pointed out that there's a little problem with her, the way she told her story and endorsed Hillary. Could you tell us about that?
America Ferreira is the daughter of Honduran immigrants. She endorsed Hillary Clinton in the primary in 2008 and in 2012. The overthrow of Manuel Zelaya's government in Honduras, engineered by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and then the flood of refugees to our borders, including many, many children, did not change her mind.
Hmm.
You know, when I saw her speech, and when I thought, well, she's actually pretty good. She's not as bad as the others. And then I started poking around the web to see who she was.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed.
Yeah, no. That if you were standing near her, you'd want to sort of tug on her jacket and say, "Excuse me." You know who? This is a con, but of course that platform did. It seemed to me it did resemble the. You know, it looked like the nomination of Hillary, but there was somebody appeared there who, in my view, is becoming more irritating by the day. But that's Michael Moore, who. He did endorse Hillary after years of, being critical of the Democratic Party and even of Obama. But when it was election time, he suddenly became a passionate supporter of Hillary's. But after the defeat, he said, well, it's time to clean house. And you had a great comment on that. Tell us about your thoughts about Michael Moore's talk and what actually happened when he tried to make his point.
That was one of the great moments of the Women's March. He's up on stage, and he's talking about how we have to take over the Democratic Party. And everybody out there in the audience, you have to run for office, even for Democratic Party precinct delegate. And you have to start calling your congressman every morning, make it part of your routine. And then he says, okay, and then after we take over the DNC, that's the Democratic National Committee, Ashley Judd burst in on him, the actress, and she went into this overwrought, I am a nasty woman oration. Mm-hmm. And that was in reference to a debate between Trump and Clinton in which Trump had said something like, oh, she's a nasty woman, meaning Hillary.
Uh-huh.
So, and before Ashley Judd was done, she had saluted other nasty women, including not only Hillary Clinton, but also Condoleezza Rice.
Yes. Bomber-in-chief.
Yes. Who has, I think it's an aircraft carrier named after her.
Oh, my gosh. I gather from that, I wasn't watching the thing at the moment, but it does appear that they were just trying to shut him down. Somebody gave a little wink, and they got Judd started so that he couldn't go continue to rant about cleaning house at the Democratic Party, right?
He couldn't finish that sentence. He says, after we take over the Democratic Party. And, you know, instead of saying, wait a minute, Ashley, I haven't finished talking about how we're going to take over the Democratic National Committee. Instead, he tried to save face by saying, oh, my God, it's Ashley Judd. And earlier he was saying, ah, Gloria Steinem was here. I got to meet Gloria Steinem. How cool is that? That's the one who blamed the recent wars. Gloria Steinem blamed the recent wars on the assassinations of the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And just a totally incoherent speech.
So, I'm surprised that Steinem, well, maybe I'm not, but she did work for the CIA once. But to say that John F. Kennedy was going to end the war, he did found the Green Berets. He created them. It was his idea. And he was enthusiastic about going into Vietnam. And, of course, maybe she would remember there was a Cuban Missile Crisis when he said, victory would be ashes in our mouths, but it will be victory. When he confronting Russia, she has the gall to talk about him. I was amazed, but that's what they do.
Yeah, but the other thing about all these Democrats jumping on the bandwagon now about justice for the Muslim refugees and green card holders who are trying to get into the country is that they're also all every one of them down with this campaign against Russia, that mm-hmm. Russia stole our election. Mm-hmm. Never mind what was in the emails, in the Clinton and Podesta emails, meaning the campaign emails. Never mind what was in the DNC emails. Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about Russia, because all this other stuff and the fact that Hillary Clinton lost to mm-hmm. a candidate like this, that's just too embarrassing.
That's right. Now, your articles and Chris Hedges' articles, and to a certain extent Glenn Greenwald, thank heavens, make this focus, because there's this thing where people like to invoke the name Orwell, but if people don't remember, it was Harry Truman who initiated the campaign that McCarthy later got on and made a career out of. But Harry Truman was already throwing anybody accused of being a red or hinted that he might be red out of the military, out of the State Department. That was under him, a Democrat, who Democrats, of course, still embrace, and also the man who used the atomic weapons. We have to be sober about who these people are. Goldman Sachs hasn't lost any time or influence through any of these administrations.
No.
But I got to ask you about a woman who is a hero who should be celebrated. Tulsi Gabbard is somebody who actually shows courage and addresses the issues that could save those immigrants, I shouldn't say immigrants, those refugees. Tell me your thoughts about Tulsi Gabbard, her visit to Syria, and her, more importantly, the resolution she's bringing in front of the United States Congress to end support for regime change terror operations.
Well, I don't know Tulsi Gabbard's whole history and voting record. She came to my attention and a lot of our attention in 2016 when she quit the Democratic National Committee to endorse Bernie Sanders and said that the Democratic National Committee was trying to throw the election to Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. And now she's gone to Syria. She came back and said, there are no moderate, quote-unquote, moderate Syrian rebels. This is a fight between terrorists, al-Qaeda and al-Nusra, and the Syrian government. And we should not be arming the terrorists. And for that, she's been roundly denounced. Yes. And the Democratic Party outlet, the Daily Coast. And today there's a really nasty article in the Washington Post. How Tulsi Gabbard became Assad's mouthpiece in Washington.
Assad's what?
Mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Well, the Daily Coast piece was called her Assange's stooge.
Yeah.
And demanded that somebody step up to challenge her in the next Democratic primary that she has to run in Hawaii.
From what I know of her support, she can beat him. Her constituency, I think, elected her by 80% last time.
I didn't know that, but you know, I hope it's true. I just got to say,
she's a veteran. By the way,
if I were Tulsi Gabbard, I would be. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
No. I just wanted to add that point that she's a major in the section of the U.S. military. I forget which one. I think it might be just the Army, but she had two tours of duty in Iraq. She knows whereof she speaks. But it's very striking that just a smear job like that, when actually there's no shortage of data and information coming from any of the departments you like, Pentagon, State Department, out of John Kerry's own mouth, once out of the mouth of Hillary herself, that these people are terrorists and the U.S. has been supporting them for tactical reasons.
If I were Tulsi Gabbard, I would be watching my back. I would be a little uneasy about flying, frankly.
Well, indeed. I mean, here you are in a situation. I mean, we've had some of these people go who have visited Syria. All of them are getting a rough time in this continent that claims to be appreciative of civil liberties, civil rights, and respect freedom of speech. All of it, the demonization begins in such a way that people are, they basically intimidated from holding the kind of meetings and discussions on air, as we're doing now, that would permit the American public to have any other point of view than that of the Post, New York Times, CNN.
Yeah, and when Glenn Greenwald was on the Jimmy Dore show, he said, I think what a lot of us are feeling, that is afraid that if Trump opposed war, as he has in Syria and on the NATO border, at least up to now, the Democrats will argue in favor of it.
Yes.
Because they will argue in favor of anything that Trump proposes.
Yes. That is a scary. Go ahead.
There's something I want to be really clear about, because some people are misunderstanding me about this, and that is that I'm not dissing the protests of people getting out in the streets. I mean, that's really important. A lot of people are asking, okay, where were you when we demolished Libya and so forth? But the more important thing is that people are, you know, there's huge crowds in the streets. The airports are full of protesters. And, you know, we need to keep making the point that all these refugees are trying to get to safety here because of these wars that we're responsible for in seven Muslim countries. If we don't keep making that point, and we allow the Democratic Party to take over this energy and channel it, and repeat the demand that we stop Trump. I mean, you know, when newscasters are talking to a lot of the protesters, they say they're going to stop Trump. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine. They should stop Trump with regard to this. But stopping Trump alone is not enough. They've got to stop the Democrats who created this situation.
Yes, exactly. Go ahead.
But no, it's great. It's great. I have still been sick, and so I haven't been out to the airport. But if this continues until I get well, which it seems very likely to, I will go out to the airport just to get a feel for the energy myself.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I keep saying is that when these Democrats show up to have their picture taken at the airport, they should be booed.
Absolutely.
They should be roundly booed.
Yes.
In front of all the cameras.
Yes.
And people should have signs.
Yes.
Saying that the Democrats supported these wars, which created all these refugees.
Yes. We have, yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, joining with your point, and I'm thinking of Chris Hedges. You mentioned him in your article. We got to get out of the duopoly. It's your trap, and you're never going to have a sensible agenda until people make it themselves separate from those two parties, which are controlled by Wall Street.
The other publication we should mention here is the Black Agenda Report.
Yes,
the Black Agenda Report has been right on target. For so long, and you know, as a Black publication, they have leave to criticize the Black Congressional Caucus, which yes. they have rightly and mercilessly. And I called Bruce Dixon, the managing editor of the BAR, last week when John Lewis was making hay about. Well, let's see. No, it was after John Lewis had blamed Russia for the Democrats losing the election, and then Trump had responded that was ridiculous and said some nasty things about John Lewis. And for those who don't know, John Lewis is someone who made his reputation marching for civil rights in the South during the civil rights movement. Then he was elected to Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been there ever since. He didn't vote against these wars. In fact, they're going to name the Navy's going to name a ship after him too.
Yeah, well, he was a regime changer too.
Yeah, but so that's
a concept. Go ahead.
So Trump said these nasty things about him, and then the headlines, and this happened even in Democracy Now. The headlines in the story were: Trump attacks civil rights icon John Lewis on the Martin Luther King holiday.
Yeah.
It said nothing about the fact that he was attacking him because he said that the Russians had stolen the election from the Democrats.
Yes. Yeah. Now that is...
Yeah, but I was saying that I called to thank the BAR for how much they have done to make us understand the Congressional Black Caucus, which was for a long time the most radical in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
They have made us understand what it has become and what its various members, including John Lewis, have become.
Yes, it's a sad truth, and it's got to be pointed out. And Black Agenda Report is a terrific site. I agree with you. And
I have one more thought here.
Yes?
I think that some of us, as women, have the same kind of leave now to criticize the women legislators who are on their high horse, along with John Lewis, who have all taken this Russia did it to us stance, and who supported these various wars.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi being one of the most prominent, perhaps the most prominent.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do the same thing.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
This women's umbrella that was cast over the Women's March, that's going to continue. And we have to be able to stand up for reproductive rights, mm-hmm. absolutely, while not gathering under this big umbrella that includes Gloria Steinem and Nancy Pelosi and Ashley Judd and Condoleezza Rice.
Yes. No, absolutely. Well, I think you summarized it very nicely. It's Ann Garrison. By the way, the article is in Counterpunch, January 26th, the Women's March in Washington, D.C., as broadcast. And you can also read Ann at Black Agenda Report, which is a great site. Thank you very, very much, Ann. That's a terrific article.
Thanks for calling me. Bye-bye.
Okey-doke. Bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. And that was a very refreshing, you know, from, in my opinion. Tulsi Gabbard, by the way, people want to go into this thing of, well, what is her voting record? I don't know what it is, but she has stood up in the American Congress and challenged the regime change strategy, which the Wall Street, Washington Post, New York Times have all agreed on, and has created, as she said, seven Muslim countries being bombed almost all the time at the same – and a Pentagon that is drunk on weapons and bullying. And in Canada, we have everybody just is comfortable. We don't have masses of people in the streets when weapons are sold to the royal family of Saudi Arabia, because the country is belongs to the royal family. It's not an independent country. It belongs to the family. And they are the richest country in the Middle East. And by the way, they're not on Trump's list, and they weren't on Obama's list. They've always had a privileged relationship to power. So why don't we just say that, privileged relationship. And they are the richest Middle Eastern state, and they are bombing the poorest, Yemen, because they want Yemen to have a different government than the one that people in Yemen want. Canada has no problem. There's no NDP here demanding and pounding and pointing and – no. This is a business as usual, war business. And to be all wanting to look at the man with the funny hair in Washington, that ain't getting it done. Trying to create a population of suckers, frankly. I don't think that they're going to get away with it.